from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You know, the I was listening to that interview with, it was D'Amino Lenore and Richard Sherman, and there was a couple interesting things. One interesting thing was, Lenore talked about how Sherman brought it up in passing, where he was like, you know, yeah, you guys lost the Super Bowl or whatever. They're like, yeah, if you would have played on the inside, probably be a little different. And Lenore was like, yeah, I ain't gonna go there or whatever. He was like, but we ain't gonna talk about it. So he says that. And then about 10 minutes later, Lenore talks about how he had really studied the tape and really believed, like, I think I should be playing inside more in this game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that'll give us a better chance. And I can't remember if he said he went to Steve Wilks or he thought about going to Steve Wilks. And he mentioned it and he's just like, yeah, okay, no, we think it's better like this. And Wilks had his reasons or whatever, but it was just interesting to hear him say, he's like, I'm never going to question a coach. Like, I'm just going to do it, what's asked of me or whatever the case may be. But I know it was real popular to be like, oh, Kyle Shanahan is blaming Wilks for the loss and all this other stuff after it happened and Wilks was let go or whatever. And I don't think that was the case. I just don't think it worked. He did not have a good game. Steve Wilks did not have a good game that game. And you talk about that decision and, you know, to the point where Kyle Shanahan calls the timeout in overtime because the guy has he's got him sitting back,
right,
11 yards off the ball, and Kyle had enough. Mm-hmm. He did not have a good game that game. So that stood out. The other thing, the reason I brought this up, though, was you talk about Atlanta not going after Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. That was a failure. Lamar mm-hmm. Jackson is the truth. But Lenore was like, Kirk Cousins is really good because mm-hmm. he talks about, like, how they played him in that Monday Night Football game. And he said Trent Williams was like telling these guys, like, Lenore, I guess I never played him before. And Trent Williams was like, yo, I'm telling you, like, Kurt is good. Like, Kurt can play. And Lenore was like, man, I seen him in Washington, man. Like, I seen the film. Like, nah, I ain't buying all that. And he said he got out there and he was just like, no, he's really, really good. And Sherman was saying the same. He's like, yeah, like, sometimes, like, I think the phrase Sherman said was like, sometimes you can trick him. You, as a defense, you can trick him mm-hmm. and, you know, pick him off or whatever the case may be. But he's like, if he's like on and you're not tricking him, you're not fooling him, it's like, man, Kirk Cousins, good. Mm-hmm. And it's a little different hearing players talk about, like, how good he is. And even the perception before you play him, you're like, oh, man, nah, it's Kirk Cousins. Like, he's kind of weak. And then you play him, he's like, ah, he's good. They said the same thing about Matthew Stafford. You know, I think everybody thinks Matthew Stafford's pretty good, but mm-hmm. he's like, nah, Stafford's also one of them ones where he can cook. Like, mm-hmm. some of the throws he makes is unfair. Mm-hmm. And It just, so I say all that saying, we're talking about the Falcons. I wonder what Kirk Cousins is going to be able to do coming back from injury.
Right.
Is he recovered? Is he starting week one? I think
that's the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not, he's expected to start week one.
Mm.
It was only the draft that made things weird.
That, and yeah.
It's only the draft
that was weird. That was an interesting way to go about things there.
Looking up at ESPN, I had mentioned this earlier, didn't really get to it. John Lynch told, I think it was KNBR, that he does feel, hi L, it's very good to see you today. They do feel a sense of urgency to get this done. Like, they're not kicking back thinking, oh, we've got time. No, at least according to John Lynch this morning, like, no, there is a sense of urgency to get this done. They desperately want to get this deal with Brandon Ayuk done. And he says they're hopeful that they can get it done and he can remain a San Francisco 49er. Could be talk, could be posturing.
Right, right. I'll be.
It's not what the Jets said. I'll tell you that. It's not what the Jets said to Hassan Reddick.
And it's not what Hassan Reddick said when he said, trade me.
Yeah, it's not. Well, it's not far off what he said. The difference is Hassan Reddick has been to the Jets facility once, and it was like to take his physical, and he's never shown up again.
Right.
Brandon Ayuk has been with the 49ers every day this training camp.
Yeah, man. So I'll take a little bit of a different stance than you. I do think the longer this goes on, the more it feels like he would stay. Because there are...
Okay.
It's just, like, if I'm Pittsburgh, like, maybe it's not even that that deep. But if I'm Pittsburgh, like, hey, man, I got to get ready for my season. I can't, like, just keep sitting on hold hoping that, you know, Ayuk is going to come here. And then a week before the season goes on, you guys pull out the rug and say, oh, he signed a contract extension. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got my own situation where people may be hearing that their name is involved in all this thing. Almost kind of like without another deal being in place, but almost kind of like Monty McNair and the Utah Jazz.
Mm.
Like, we're out here trying to do this deal.
Yep.
You got till about...
There's a deadline.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then we got to move on, do what's best for our franchise. So... It just, part of me feels like, and I think Jesse might have said, I wonder what Jesse feels like, if everything seems in play, like if it was going to happen, it should have happened by now, the trade I'm talking about. Don't you think?
Do San Francisco and Pittsburgh even have like a deal like where like the Niners agreed to?
I don't know. I'm hearing conflicting reports. Some say...
Because I feel like the way I've seen it too is like Pittsburgh has parameters for what they want. Ayuk is cool with it.
Well, wasn't that what you talked about yesterday when the report was like, Pittsburgh has agreed to the deal on on their end. Like, yeah. Pittsburgh's like, yeah, we agreed. We're good.
Yeah.
Without San Francisco saying...
Meanwhile, the 49ers are like, cool.
See, I think like for me, like everything has been like reported and all that. Like, he could have went to the Browns or the Patriots. He didn't want that. Pittsburgh wants him. Niners don't want what he wants. It seems like the Niners have raised their deal too as far as the contract, but he's not happy with that either. Do you guys feel like the situation's kind of turned on him a bit where he's kind of like, all right, Brandon, like, figure it out at this point? Like, it's on you. Like, you're kind of dragging this now.
Yeah, I don't. Not yet. I don't know at what point that it does turn on Brandon Ayuk. I think it could be... I don't know, because We can go with the reports and the $30 million, but I'll go back to the example I had earlier. There's two other big-time wide receivers out there. If CD signs for 36 mm-hmm. and Jamar signs for 35, or you reverse those and, you know, either of the one signs for 36 and the other one signs for 35, what does that mean for Brandon Ayuk? Mm-hmm. Does that make the 30 price a little bit more, you know, digestible?
Mm-hmm.
Or does 30 become 33?
Right.
Does it become 34? Like, what happens there? The number that's been consistent is 30. We have the weird, was it 32 from the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of out there as part of whatever that alleged deal was. And it's just kind of, I don't think it's turned on anyone yet, but it's going to, if it doesn't get done. I see where you're going with the longer this plays out, the more likely you think he is to stay. My opinion has been, that he wants to stay. But I can't figure out how, and I guess I've never been in high-level negotiations like this. I can't figure out what's taking so long. I can't figure out, like, do they talk every day? Do they talk every couple of days, meaning Ayuk's representation and John Lynch? Mm-hmm. It seems to me like this is something you sit down and figure out.
It feels like it. And
like,
I don't
how know. Can this not be worked out 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks into this?
And I don't know if this means anything. You've got more experience with this, but the fact that Ayuk is there seems to be talking to the personnel. He's on the field or whatever the case may be. If it was like, I would almost think if it was like super contentious and they were nowhere close, wouldn't the agent be like, hey, Brandon, get off the field. Get away from him.
Yeah.
Like, we're not even close.
Yeah.
This is not happening.
We don't know why, but isn't that what happened with Jamar?
That's what
Wasn't
it feels
Jamar
like.
Were
yeah.
there?
And then he left.
And then he left.
Yeah. Is there a possibility? I don't think so. I'm just spitballing a little bit. Is there a possibility that Jamar and CeeDee may be looking at Brandon? Because if Brandon gets 32,
we want 37.
Yeah, yeah. One of them two are like, oh, that's the new separation.
But
I can't be $3 million. Close to Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, that.
I think it's
a little bit of a stretch.
No, so you seem to agree.
I don't know if that's what they're doing, but I could see it.
I disagree because the marker's Justin Jefferson, not Brandon Ayuk. Mm-hmm. For those two guys, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. CeeDee and Jamar, the marker's Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. What Brandon Ayuk is what he does is inconsequential unless it's more than Justin Jefferson.
Right.
And there's virtually zero chance that's happening.
If IU gets 32, though, does that get you just what Justin Jefferson got? If you're CeeDee and Jamar?
No. Again, what Brandon Ayuk gets, if Brandon Ayuk signed for $10 million, it shouldn't matter. Mm-hmm. Their marker is Justin Jefferson and Justin Jefferson only. To me, mm-hmm. that's who they're using as their barometer mm-hmm. in this conversation.
Makes
with,
sense.
That's it.
Makes sense.
They're not using Tyreek. They're not using DJ. They're not using anyone except Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
He's the one. I'm the one. Pay me like I'm the one.
Do both of you guys think all three wide receivers play week one? I don't think I want to say play for their teams, but the other two aren't in danger of leaving the team. So you think all three play week one?
D'Lo, you go first.
You know, the one that I'm sketchiest about is CeeDee, but I'm going to answer yes. I think all three of them get their contracts and play week one for the Bengals, for the Cowboys, and for the 49ers.
I think
Jamar, the turn that Jamar is taking makes me wonder if he'll be there week one.
Well, if you're the Bengals, like, what are you doing strategic. At this point? Like, you didn't pay T. Higgins because of this.
It could have been strategic. It could have been, hey, show up. Good faith. Mm-hmm. Let's try to get this done. Hey, guys, we got to take a break. This isn't going well.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Jamar, good faith is over. Go home.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Which makes the Ayuk thing even stranger because it's it just makes it even it makes it even weirder.
So the Cowboys, this is insane when you think about it. So are they just going to make, like, those three guys the highest paid at their position? At, like, those are, like, premium positions that you pay to. Like,
yeah.
Like top of the top, like, give us our bag. Like, is that going to get all handled?
Well, so let's start with CeeDee. CeeDee is a top three receiver in the league?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, that might happen. Micah tops Nick Bosa's contract?
Yeah, he's got to be at least there.
And real quick, Micah's there, right, and participating?
Yeah. Micah has 2 years left on his contract. I don't think he has one. I think he has two.
I thought he was a year after Bosa. So that would mean he has 1 year left.
Jesse's looking it up. That would make sense. I could be wrong. I thought he had 2 years left. My apologies.
He's got a club year next year, fifth year option.
So that's two.
Yeah, so he does. Okay, yeah, so he has two. Okay.
And that's an early negotiation. Well, maybe it's not a negotiation.
Well, it's probably the club option, you dump. Mm. So it becomes you have your final year. Obviously, you get your bonus and all of that stuff, your signing bonus. But then that fifth year option is gone, and you have an entirely new contract.
If you're the Cowboys, because I kind of been thinking about this too, Soren throws it in the chat. Like, do you kind of figure out a way to maybe like replace their kind of work around that, like Dak, so you can pay CD and Parsons since they're younger?
You know, I really believe.
I know quarterback's important, but
I really believe they hope Trey Lance was going to be that, and I don't know if Trey is.
If
they were talking him up,
if Dak, so you asked the question, is Dak going to wind up being the highest paid quarterback? That you said the highest at his position. If Dak hits the market next year, does that happen anyways?
Yeah.
If Dak Prescott is a free agent next season, does he become the highest paid quarterback anyways?
If I'm the Raiders, I'd pay him, make him that, because like if I'm the Raiders, yeah, he's taking us to the Super Bowl. That'd be my thinking if I was the.
Let's talk about this when we come back, because
okay, I wasn't going to take a break.
No,
that's fine. Let's do it. It's fine. Well, no, we could have gone either way.
We could stay because let's stay. Let's stay.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to think. Let me pull up
well-oiled machine, baby.
Let me pull up the list of teams. Would the Raiders be bidding against themselves? Who else would be in the market for a quarterback like that?
This might sound stupid. I think the Cowboys still will.
Mm.
The hesitancy might be, what is everyone else going to offer the Cowboys?
If Dak is a free agent, Dak is good enough to where teams will move off their middling quarterback, who's kind of iffy or whatever. Let's go get Dak and free up some money. Like, that'll happen, I think. Dak is good enough to where if he's a free agent, like, he'll have a market, no doubt. Teams will ditch their quarterback or whatever if he's not getting a massive deal to try and get Dak Prescott.
Here's the key. Well, no, they wouldn't be bending against themselves, because I was about to say I don't see middling quarterbacks, but there's probably four teams.
Okay.
I'm looking at maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Seattle.
Okay.
New Orleans. So that's one I didn't call before. So New Orleans. The Giants.
The Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And
Mr. Midlife Crisis.
Steelers, they don't have a quarterback yet.
That's funny. They said he was having a midlife
crisis. That was amazing. I popped for that. That was funny. I like Randy Scott. Randy Scott, my man is solid.
But the Steelers have won as well. So that now we're at five. I guess Tennessee. There's probably about six or seven. Yeah.
He'll have a market.
And I didn't say the Raiders either.
Yeah, he'll have a market.
Denver probably be in there.
Is it Bo Nix?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that their guy? Is that their week one guy? Is Bo Nix their week one guy?
Yeah, I think the Broncos low key might be one of the worst teams in football.
Oh, that'd be sad to see. It'd be devastating.
Is he even part of the club anymore, though? Is Elway part of the club anymore?
Is who?
Elway.
No.
I didn't think so.
I don't think so.
You just hate the Broncos?
No, I don't like Sean Payton.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah, I think Sean Payton's a... I don't like Sean Payton.
He's a martyr. He took the fine, you know, without...
Well, got him a movie.
They made him a family-friendly film.
Yeah, with King of Queens. Where the hell is that guy?
Kevin James?
Yeah.
Collecting residuals, I guess.
Yeah, he blew up from that meme and then just weird.
Do you get residuals off of memes?
No, but I imagine like maybe you get, I don't know. Did they have,
what was that, a King and Queens promo pic? Is that what that was? Or what is it, King of Queens? Not King and Queen. What is
King
it?
Of
it's
Queens?
King of Queens. That's right. Queens, the in New York. What's the last thing old Kevin did here?
I don't make shows like that no more.
They don't.
Kevin.
They don't. Remember, we'll see. I don't know if Jesse will remember this, but remember this will be like,
is incredible. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
The last movie to be released from Kevin James was when he was Sean Payton.
Wow. Oof,
well, that was a career ender.
Was Kevin James blackballed from Hollywood?
Hollywood said, this is ridiculous.
That was a career ender right there. Yikes. This was a time of year when we would really anticipate new shows and the start of season.
The fall, yeah.
And I don't think that exists anymore.
No. I just need Ghost. I think Ghost comes back next month.
It does. Oh, it does. And that's it. It's going to be the end of it.
Look at that boy up there dressed like Kenny. Woo, look at that.
Izzy Adesanya. He's one of the UFC fighters I would know.
KC.
I would know if they were walking down the street. There's probably only three of them.
You know what cracked me up is I think it was probably SportsCenter pushed out a video that Dana White took. And you look up there and you see the screen and it's the face-off.
Mm-hmm.
But the face-off was only focused on one guy. You want to guess which one it was?
Dana?
No, Dana was filming it.
Oh, Dana was filming it.
He's filming the face-off and they go face-to-face and then the camera just stays with one guy. It was his opponent.
I was about to say, not Izzy.
It wasn't Izzy.
And Izzy's the star.
Wasn't Izzy.
Izzy was talking crazy in his last fight and got
whooped
up. I hate
this guy's mustache. It absolutely drives me nuts.
Your boy, Mr. 95.7, former 95.7 alum.
Yeah, not a fan. Get that work in.
Izzy was talking all that mess last time.
He's sitting next to L. Duncan, so he's winning, but still.
He got his ass whooped. Is this a rematch? Is this the guy that beat him up before? Do you know Jesse?
I don't think so.
I was disappointed to see that. Didn't see the fight, but there goes.
I was gonna flash.
He's gone.
Oh, there he is.
Well, you want me to get Danielle?
Go get. She's wearing an ESPN 1320 shirt. Let's see if she wants to talk sports.
Danielle making her debut. Shout out.
We just debuting everybody. Look at Kenny's shoes, boy. Kenny's shoes right there on
wow.
the screen. Wow. Look at those. I've only seen those on TV and my computer screen.
And then Kenny's feet.
Danielle, you want to talk? Look at our girl.
Really?
This is our girl, Danielle. Danielle, you know more about baseball than anybody.
Maybe.
See? It's our girl right here.
Are you hyped for the Bay Bridge series?
I am, yeah.
The last Bay Bridge series.
I mean, I'm hoping the Giants can pull this one out because
they need it.
The A's are not very good.
So
no, they're not. Able to do it, you know.
Well, look, even if you don't want to be on, you're already on.
So you don't have to stay. We were just talking about how wonderful you are. Once we break your little shell, like you just love sports and you're very talkative and you're fantastic. And we just got to break the shell first.
The first thing she told me, she's like, "Yeah, Charlie told me about you guys talking about my food getting stolen. That never happened."
I didn't think it was her. It was Charlie.
Charlie's food got stolen. And he was like,
really
"Oh,
got
your
stolen?"
food did. I'm like, "No, Charlie, that was you." Not me.
Sometimes you got to remind Charlie. That's all right. Just a gentle little nudge to remind him. Okay, you don't have to. We think the world of you. Yeah. You're dope.
Thank you. I appreciate it, you guys. Yeah.
You ready for King season? She's a big King's fan.
Go Warriors.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See you.
Okay, you got to go now. That's enough.
Goodbye.
Okay. Wow, she just turned heel. This is the quickest This is the quickest heel turn in history.
Maybe someone stole her food.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Let me see that bag mark, Danielle, next time. Man.
That's what we were being nice to this whole time?
The hell?
I thought she was a Kings fan. Wasn't that what we were told?
And Kenny set her up for the heel turn. Set her right up there for the heel turn.
Thought she was a Kings fan.
Just right to the back of the head. Jeremiah said that was some Big Show stuff. That was a double turn super quick.
What the hell just happened?
Wow. Second biggest heel in the company next to Kimberly.
Dang, that's crazy. I didn't see that coming. Man.
A's and White Sox up next, though, for your boys.
Come on, man. These guys, man. If they win, I don't even know if they have a shot at the playoffs. Although they do. I think they're, 3.5 back? There's only one team in front of them right now, and that's the Mets, which is a lot better than maybe about 3 weeks ago when they were 3 games back, but there was, like, 3 teams in front of them. So you only got one team that you got to leapfrog. They're 3.5 back. You have to win. I usually hate doing this and saying this. I like to leave a little room for error. But you got 2 against the A's, 3 against the White Sox. If you want any shot of making any ground, you got to win all 5, Harry. You got to win all 5 games.
Okay.
So
I'm looking
at it. It's still early. It's mid-August, so it's still relatively early. But these are the five easiest games left on your schedule by far.
Mm-hmm.
You have no room to not win all five games. Like, we need to be talking on, what would that be, Thursday? Talking about the Giants are season-high 500.
Mm. And they're never looking back.
That's what needs to happen.
Good callback right there. Sorry, I'm just browsing the book that Nick Wagner puts out every day regarding... Yeah.
That's a lot of typing.
It really is. Like, he is committed to this. I don't know how much you pay Elon Musk to be able to type this much on one tweet, but this is just spectacular work by our man Nick Wagner. This is...
Yeah, talk to Nick.
Very detailed. Yeah, we do. I try not to step on the feet of the insiders because I know that he's a regular guest for them. But yeah, we definitely need to talk to Nick. There's some King stuff I want to talk about. I want to shout out David Aldridge too. And you had some thoughts on the schedule we didn't cover yet. So we're going to get to those in just a couple of minutes. The W returned last night.
It did.
Yeah, the Liberty are nasty.
Why'd they do that to the Sparks?
They're quietly, they were up by 40 at one point. They're having an all-time season. Like, they are having a we're preparing for one team and one team only type of season.
Mm.
And that's, you know, Connecticut's really good. There's some really good teams at the top of the W right now. Mm-hmm. But the Liberty have been playing this whole year like we're waiting for the Aces.
They want their get back.
Yeah.
They want their get back.
Don't fall asleep on some of these other squads that are out there.
Yeah.
But they're nasty.
Once again, the Sun are really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no disrespect, but we're headed back to that finals again, I believe. It's not as clear cut as it was last year, but the Liberty and the Aces are going to do it for the second straight time or third straight
year? I think it's the second.
Seattle was the one. Oh, no, it was Connecticut, the one. Boy, they beat Connecticut. The Aces did the first time. So, yeah, we're going for the rematch.
Don't want to sleep on Minnesota.
I don't. They got a win last night against Washington. That was good to see for them. But, you know. My Aces, I think my Aces come back tonight or tomorrow.
I believe it's tomorrow. What's today? Today's Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Seattle and Atlanta tonight, Phoenix and Indiana, and Connecticut at Dallas.
My girl had a rough night last night.
Well, she did. I'll let you explain, but it feels like your girl had a normal night last night.
Yeah, that's true, too. I'm talking about Angel Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Another double-double. I mean, she's still, even having a rough night,
she's Domas.
gosh.
She's Domas.
Pencil her in for 13 to 15 rebounds.
Every night.
But she had a double-double. It was 11 points, 15 rebounds, but she was 4 of 14 from the field, and like 13 of those shots were 2 feet from the basket.
Yeah.
So
she'll figure it out. Like, I don't know how you teach that, coach that. Find that, she'll find it.
Mm.
But yeah, it is glaring right now in her first season.
Last night, and I don't think this was the first time they played each other, but last night it was the first time she seemed to, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but went up against some like massive size with Brittany Griner.
Mm.
And if you're already not very athletic around the rim and you kind of try to get in where you fit in as far as finishing around angles, the angles get considerably smaller with somebody like Brittany Griner in the paint. And she did not perform well, efficiently at least, last night against the Sun and or the Mercury. And the Sky took the L. Mercury came out, did their thing.
Yeah, that was. And Phoenix is above 500 and probably playing better than they did.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands.
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Deserve to be playing. Mm-hmm. That was their first matchup. Interestingly enough, they have, counting that one, three to close the season. So they still have two more, including one on Sunday.
Mm. No Kennedy in that game either.
Yeah, she was sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening here?
Do you have the standings in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
What's it looking like for the playoffs? Like, we obviously know the top teams are in there, but is there a race for the final spot or something like that?
It's a bit of a stretch to call it a race. The Sky are clear of Atlanta, who's in ninth place right now, by about 3.5. Mm-hmm. Chicago's 10-15, but they got 3.5 on Atlanta, who's 7-17. Indiana's right above them at 11-15. Those are the two sub-500 teams. Then you got Phoenix. Then you got the Aces at 16-8, Seattle at 17-8. Seattle is.
I thought they'd be okay, but they're way better.
Yeah,
than
they're
I thought.
Yeah, significantly better. Then you have Minnesota, who I believe is a threat at 18-8, and then of course Connecticut, who is phenomenal at 18-6, and then we said it, they're having an all time season. The New York Liberty are 22-4.
Oof.
They are playing with a singular purpose, a point differential of plus 10. It's not even close.
Mm.
It's not even close.
And real quick, the format for the playoffs, for those who don't know, best of three in the first round or first two rounds? I think it's first round.
It's two.
First two rounds. And then the finals is best of five.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. We'll come back. We'll shift our attention to the NBA. Russell Wilson's never getting talked about on this show. I just looked at some of our notes. I was like, Russell Wilson? Oh, you got to be kidding me. This is fantastic. Russell, that's just going to be the bit forever. Russell Wilson is still on the Broncos as far as we're concerned. You had some things that stood out to you in the schedule league-wide that we should talk about. And salute to David Aldridge.
Yes.
We'll explain why when D'Lo and Casey return here to close out the week on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Coming back in from the break, I can't believe we let this moment slip by. We were talking about our first sports memories. Mm-hmm. And Charlie stops me on the way in and says, I'm a little insulted that you haven't called me in to ask about my first sports memory.
That's great.
Was it Abe Lincoln's wrestling match?
Oh, my God.
Jeez Louise. Oh, man.
It was Abe Lincoln at Comiskey Park. I'm
and by the way, Park.
hey, let's also point out that on Wednesday, when we're celebrating 1,000 episodes, we're also celebrating Charlie's birthday that day.
Yeah.
So we're gonna turn up for Charlie. I'm actually very excited to hear this. Your first sports memory.
It was with my dad. The year was 1957.
Mm.
I was 7 years old. And he took me to my first major league baseball game. And it was at Crosley Field, which mirrors a lot like Great American Ballpark. Great American Ballpark is built a lot on the field footprint of the old Crosley Field.
I'm familiar with Crosley Field because it's in MLB The Show. So every time I go to Cincinnati as the Giants, I play a game in the Crosley
Field. You know
Field.
That the sun deck at night turned into the moon deck.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
The sun deck at Crosley Field at night, they had a sign that flipped, and it became the moon deck. And it was a night game, and we walked in, man, and I'll never forget, as a little kid, I had never seen anything like the grass under the lights of a major league field.
Sure.
And they were playing the Milwaukee Braves. Who that year would become the world champions in a seven-game series over the New York Yankees. And on that field that night, playing in his rookie season, was Frank Robinson. Also on that field that night were a few guys that became Hall of Famers. Third baseman Eddie Matthews.
Eddie Matthews, yeah.
Catcher Del Crandall. Guy on the mound pitched a complete game by the name of Warren Spahn.
Oh, wow.
And then there was this outfielder who hit pretty well in his career by the name of Hank Aaron. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I love baseball.
Come on, man.
He's walking
out. The walk-off, man. Don't mess with my dog. Don't mess with him.
Wait a minute. We wanted to hear about the Athens Olympics before you go.
Yeah, Dilo's not making it to the 1,000th episode.
That's awesome.
Man, that is awesome.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Man,
there's a who's who of players right there.
And then he walked out. He just left. Man, I had questions and he just left. He's like, that's all you get.
He's got a wrestling story he's got to share.
He really?
Yeah, it's like when there was like territories and stuff like that. Well, you walked into a gym, there's a bunch of wrestlers there or something like that.
Well, wait, hey, get back in here.
I'm pretty sure he's got a wrestling story.
Charlie's from Ohio, so he's got the... Do we know whose territory that was?
Do you have a wrestling story?
Oh, I've got wrestling stories, but... You
have to understand, when I was a kid, that wrestling was all regionalized.
Right, absolutely. Uh-huh.
So it was all... Everything was called big-time wrestling.
Right.
And so it was all regionalized, and I was thinking about this while you guys were talking about wrestling. My favorite wrestler was a guy by the name of Bobo Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobo Brazil, I love because Bobo Brazil would always put everybody out with the coconut bump.
And
it's a little bit different back then.
Yeah, he would come up and he would jump up and he would hit guys on the top of the head with his chin. And I don't know how in the world, I mean, you know, we know things are choreographed, but I don't know how he would keep from splitting his chin wide open, because he would come down on guys hard. And my favorite wrestling match that I remember ever is that he beat, it wasn't the Iron Sheik, it was just the Sheik.
Yeah.
And he beat the Sheik on a big time wrestling TV championship belt match.
Tremendous.
And he got up on about the second or third rope.
Yeah.
And jumped up and came down and gave the Sheik, because we all hated the Sheik, and he got the Sheik on top of the head with the coconut bump, and the Sheik crumbled, and man, everything was right in the world, man.
Where was this at? I know it was Ohio. Where was it at in Ohio?
Dayton, Ohio. And not that I remember this, but it was on WLWD Channel 2.
I don't know whose territory Dayton, Ohio was. I don't know.
Was that a McMahon?
I don't know. Vince was like Connecticut, New York.
Yeah, no,
Boston,
it wasn't Vince. And then it sold to a guy that was up out of Michigan. Mm. I might as well tell you this story now since we got into it.
Absolutely.
The guy that bought it lived in a little town called Williamston, Michigan. And Williamston's about 10 miles outside to the east of Lansing. And I was working in Lansing, and I was working in a program to kind of help kids that had gotten in trouble divert out of the juvenile system. Mm. And I would go out to a high school every Monday morning, and I would meet with the kids. And I had a little restaurant there that I liked to eat in. And one day I'm looking over, and I see these guys, and they're all eating over there, and they're talking, but they're just beat up, man. I mean, they are beat up. And then I started looking at them, and I'm going, those guys are huge. Mm. So one day, one of the guys said to me, he says, I see you in here every Monday morning. What do you do? And I said, well, I work with kids that have gotten in trouble, and we're trying to keep them out of juvenile hall. And he says, that's really cool. I said, what do you guys do? They said, we're wrestlers. Mm. And it was all the guys from the regional wrestling group. Well, it turns out the guy that owned the place had a gigantic home out there. And then he had other little guest houses all there. And about 18 of them all lived out there on that piece of property.
Goodness.
So what happened, I mean, they lived well. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I never bought my breakfast. One of them would buy my breakfast for me.
Oh, that's cool.
And then one day I came in, and the guy that was in charge of it came up to me, and he says, you ever need anything for the kids? And I said, well, I said, you know, we take them on camping trips and stuff and everything else. And I won't tell you how much he gave me, but it was substantial. And the next week I came in, and he had a envelope full of cash for me. And he said, if you ever need anything else, he said, you'd let me know. And from time to time, I was there for 2 years, and he gave me several very, very nice donations. Wow. It was only under one condition, that I couldn't tell anybody that they were donating.
Mm. That's terrific. That's awesome.
That so cool. Good stuff. That's my wrestling
involved. I love it.
There we go.
I love
it. Shout out Ohio, man. Dayton, Ohio's in the building.
Charlie, the man of 1,000 stories. That's awesome.
There was, I remember when I lived in Carson, we stayed in these apartments, and you know, we walked through the apartment. There was like these big guys that I would always see just walking as I went to go get the mail or at the barbecue area or whatever the case may be. And the one time, I wasn't really that interested. And it would be weird, like, hey, what are you doing here or whatever the case may be. But somehow, I think we found out, like, one of the neighbors or whatever, I don't know if it was USA Boxing or whatever, but they had a plan to just find the next great heavyweight. Mm. And they were getting, I don't know how they got people out there or got the word out, but they got like 15 guys. They housed them in the apartments, and they were training every day. They go to whatever boxing gym and would train, and they were trying to basically create the next great heavyweight. Mm. And I don't think anybody, there's only like one or two that are relatively famous right now. I don't think they were there, but yeah, they're housing, trying to create basically the next great heavyweight.
I think the territory that Charlie was in, it might have been part of the AWA. I always just looked at that as Minneapolis only, but it looks like it stretches across quite a bit up there in that area. So it could have been that. Mm. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Before we close out, wanted to make sure we show some love to our man David Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
David Aldridge has been ranking all week the best off-season moves, team by team, countdown style.
Mm.
Well, he had start at 30. He had gotten all the way to 11, and the Kings hadn't been named yet.
I'll be damned.
How about that? David Aldridge thinks highly of what the Sacramento Kings did this offseason. So highly, he has the Dallas Mavericks at 10, the San Antonio Spurs at 9, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 8, the Brooklyn Nets, at 7, and then the Sacramento Kings at 6. David Aldridge wrote, the Kings snagged one of the game's great closers in DeMar DeRozan, who will help them in so many ways. He lives to take the last shot and is a foul-drawing machine. And while the Kings could have used another shooter to help keep the floor space for De'Aaron Fox, DeRozan will be a unique weapon who Mike Brown can use in a manner and use in all manner of interesting ways with Fox, Domantas Sabonis, and Keegan Murray. Speaking of Brown, good on the Kings for not messing around and making their very good head coach a lame duck going into the last season of his old deal, extending him for 3 years. Just holding on to Brown and Monk, who looks certain to be leaving for a more lucrative deal elsewhere, would have made for a good offseason. With DeRozan's arrival, it's approaching great.
Wow.
He closes out with Boston at 5, New York at 4, Orlando at 3. Admittedly, I had to read a little bit on that one.
They re-signed what's my man's name?
Jonathan Isaac.
Isaac. I was about to call him Ike Austin. But they re-signed him. They got KCP. I don't know if that's 3
words. I think they really liked KCP.
I think that's who
David really liked. Philadelphia got the 2 spot. Pretty much
fair. I mean, they got a lot of good players.
They kept some good guys and signed a bunch of good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Oklahoma City Thunder got the number one spot.
That's fair
for David Aldridge.
That's fair.
But it was nice to hear an analysis of, I don't know if anyone noticed this, didn't say the word defense anywhere.
Spoken like somebody who actually pays attention.
I don't always agree with David Aldridge, but I trust David Aldridge.
Yes. And when I don't agree with David Aldridge, it actually pains me because I like David Aldridge.
Yeah.
But I think he got this one right.
I mean, we could argue right or wrong. Like, I feel like he was fair in assessing what the Kings did.
That's the most important thing.
And like, when you talk about an offseason, Mike Brown has to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Brown signed an extension this season.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Monk has to be a part of that. And I think one thing that he pointed out that other people didn't was, it appeared at least, Malik could have left to make a lot more money, or at least more money, mm-hmm. elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
and didn't. That, as David pointed out, factors into this Kings offseason being really good. Then you go and get DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Kings cooked this offseason.
I agree, man. So, and you said the perfect word right there. Just a fair analysis.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to think it's the best thing since sliced bread or whatever the case may be. Just be fair with your analysis. And David Aldridge was. I felt he was, at least.
You looked at the schedule a little bit more yesterday after the release and came across a few things.
Yeah, so I just, you know, there's some interesting games. Obviously, like we talked about the Christmas Day, and there are some that are interesting. Well, I think only one is interesting to you, huh?
Christmas Day.
Just Lakers, Warriors.
No, they just don't move me.
Mm.
That's all it is. Mm. They just don't move me. But Boston and Philadelphia is that night, right?
Yeah.
That day, yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Wimby
and,
at the
and
Garden.
I'm fine.
The Garden's gonna be buzzing. It's gonna be buzzing.
No, for sure. Yeah. But New York is. They're always gonna host a game.
True. No. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I get it. I get it. It's Wimby Mania, brother. Like, I understand.
It's the we're about to throw the wrapping paper away game. Somebody make
right.
breakfast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
At least for us.
Somebody make the biscuits. Let's get going.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, trying on my new slippers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Game on in the background. I usually don't
Dad,
pay attention.
Dad, get some
to
batteries.
That.
Dad, charge this
there
for me.
There we go. Put this together.
Mm-hmm.
Have that game in the background while I'm putting something together. So, yeah. But they you know, just kind of talked about the other games that are going on. I think, so let me start with opening night or the next day. Well, opening night is fine too, but okay. The next day. The Intuit Dome.
Yeah.
I want to see that. Yeah, did you catch clips of last night? So it opened last night. Bruno was last night.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I saw our guy Law, mm-hmm. Law Murray. Mm-hmm. They gave out rings.
Really? I didn't know that.
It wasn't like giant, like yeah, a Super Bowl ring.
Still.
But it was a ring bigger than the one I got on, and it had the Intuit Dome subscription on it.
Wow.
Yeah,
it looked
got rings.
So I've came across this guy who's a reporter. I think he's a Hollywood reporter, and he was at the show and he had a bunch of clips of it or whatever. It looks great. They had a little bit of a mishap where I guess you can only get in through the app, and the app shut down like 20 minutes before Bruno was supposed to happen. So there's like just thousands of people outside that can't get in.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, look, it's the first opening, like it'll be fine. It's no big deal. Everybody ended up getting in, watching the show. It was no big deal. But check out, maybe I'm tripping. Go unblock me. Go to my Twitter page. they were, I don't know if they did it the whole time, but on that screen that's outside, they had the performance, because I think Bruno did an encore. So they had the performance. It looks like the clearest screen I've ever seen in my life. That's what my tweet said too. But it is the clearest screen I've ever seen. And it looks massive. This Intuit Dome is crazy. It is crazy. So it's like a screen that's like outside where the little basketball court is and stuff
it
like that.
It looks like it's made of glass.
The picture is unbelievable.
This almost looks like your TV, the one you have in the backyard.
The picture of Lady Gaga is just jumping out of the
amazing.
Picture.
That is amazing.
I don't know how they did that.
Is she smoking a cigarette while she's
singing?
Probably. I don't know what that is. Yeah, this is spectacular. Holy crap. Yeah, this is the new benchmark.
Yeah, it's so I was saying like the
oh my god, those stairs.
Come on, man.
This is the new benchmark for arenas, and this not even arenas in the NBA. This is the new benchmark for arenas. Period.
In the
for
in sports the country, venues, maybe in the world.
My
so this
goodness.
So I that's gonna be the first game.
This is just with the money that Ballmer found in his couch.
Yeah, he throw away money, throw away. This is the most anticipated opening of an arena in decades.
Gotta be.
I can't wait to see. I can't wait to go to this arena. This place looks amazing.
I would have loved to see Bruno last night.
They said he did his thing too.
I believe it. Oh, I'm looking at. Yeah, I'm gone. I'm out. I'm watching clips from the show last night.
So they had a like a medical emergency, I guess, in the middle of his set. And this isn't funny. I hope everybody's okay. I don't know what the outcome was. But he was doing a set or whatever, and he's like, hey, to the moon. Hey, security, we need somebody right here down in front. And he's like, yeah, woo-woo. They're like, no, security. We need somebody here. Get here. And Bruno goes, hey, you work here, right? Security. Get somebody right here. We need security. And everybody's like, yeah. Woo, Bruno. I'm like, no. He's like, no. Stop them. Stop the music. We need security. But, yeah, hopefully everybody was okay. But that place looks amazing. I saw that just from a concert and was like,
Bruno,
I have to be there.
Bruno is the perfect person to open every arena.
Yeah. It looked like he did a great job. Looked like he did a phenomenal job.
This is amazing. Holy crap. I can't wait to see this thing in person.
So the first game is the Suns Clippers.
Quick note to broke-ass owners. The game has changed forever.
you can't match up.
It has been changed forever.
Like I said, anybody that wants to see it, the guy Chris Gardner, he did the whole night at the place. But the one that I tweeted it out, I mean, what would you say? This is a... I can't even put like feet on it. This is like a three-story screen.
Yeah, this
that looks like it's jumping out at you.
That comfortably looks like a 2 to 3 story screen. Yeah, that's insane.
It looks unbelievably clear.
I can't imagine what the actual size of that is. That's spectacular. Yeah.
So that's one I want to see. I want to see. I don't want to say every game, but I want to see a gang of games at the Intuit Dome. I'm locked in on the Intuit Dome. So did you see what we can't play this at all? But did you see what I posted the other day about crypto? So somebody had like this Joe Pesci this Joe Pesci clip from a movie or whatever, and they go NBA teams and LA basketball fans as they go into crypto after seeing a game at the Intuit Dome, and Joe Pesci is like going in and he looks around and he goes, "What the F is this?" The Intuit Dome is going to blow that place out the water.
Have you ever heard Abe, the pocket watching champion of the world?
He's not that.
Do a Joe Pesci impersonation?
No, he's got a Joe Pesci.
Oh, if he walked by, well, I couldn't call him in to do it because the way he does it is pretty. It'd have to be during a commercial. It's pretty hilarious. It's hilarious.
I got to hear it. Now I got to
hear it. It's amazing. Yeah,
I didn't realize we were where we're at. The rest of the schedule is interesting.
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't realize we were that close.
This Intuit Dome is absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts.
I can't remember the last, outside of the Golden One Center, because I'm here. I can't remember a last arena that I've looked forward to.
It has to be like the Jerry World opening up was a main event. Mm-hmm. This is up there with that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, Bomber Money is different, man. My goodness, Bomber Money is different.
Wow.
What a venue, what a performer. I need to see Bruno again.
Well, I don't know how that's... Well, you can. I don't know how it's going to happen for me.
No, unfortunately, I can't, buddy. Like, those are... you know who really wants to see him again? I've seen Bruno once at the Golden One Center. Prior to Beyonce, it was the most I paid for a ticket. It was a second, a secondary market ticket. Yeah. My sister really wanted to go.
Mm.
So it's like, all right, let's do it. We went. Well, she really wants to go again. And he just announced his residency, his December residency in Vegas. I was like, all right, let's see what I can do for my sister. See if we can get out there.
I might have to get out there too. I got to see Bruno. My mom saw Bruno. She loved him.
Yeah, he can. He's special.
Yeah.
We are headed out to the ice rink. Come join us. We'll be there from 6 to 10. We're going to have a great time tonight. You don't have to skate. You could just come hang out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just looking for something to do tonight, come hang out with D'Lo and Casey right across the street from Doco, 705 K Street, downtown Sacramento, right where the ice rink normally is. We're at the roller rink. They turned it into the roller rink. So we're headed out there now. We appreciate you guys so much, man. Thanks for a fun day. And we will see you back here on Monday on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos 49ers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.